blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 306, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore, from this time forth forevermore. 1 through 4 of Psalter 306.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John and thereof chapter 17. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe, and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Thou Father, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While as I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, the world does not know thee. The world does not acknowledge thee. The world does not wish to serve thee. But Satan is the prince of this world. He is the enemy of thee. But thou hast known, thy son does know thee, and thy people have known that thou hast sent him. And thus they may also through him know thee. Thou knowest where that they are that do know thee. We know thee as thou hast revealed thyself in thy word. And we need to know thee as thou dost reveal thyself in our hearts. Oh, that thou may give us such a knowledge of thee, and that when thou wilt reveal thyself, that we would never say, I know thee not, as thy servant Peter did say, for fear of this world. But what a disappointment for thee. Oh, that we may be given that knowledge of thee, oh, granted to young and old, for to know thee is life eternal. And that we might know Jesus Christ, whom that thou hast sent. And Lord, those that may know thee, those that have seen thee in thy humiliation, and those that have given, have been given an eye of faith to behold thy sufferings, and that may see as such a beauty in thee. O thou didst say to thy Father, I will that they should also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What shall it be for them who have seen thee in thy humiliation, and who have rejoiced in thee, in thy suffering and in thy death, when they may see thee in thy glory? O Lord, then they shall sink away under the wonders of thy grace. O, they shall magnify thee, they shall glorify thee. O, that thou may give a longing for it, and that we may see all the vanity that is here below, and that we may have a longing as thou hast a longing, and that thy people may behold thy glory, or that they may receive a desire, and that they may behold thy glory, and that they may pass out of all that is encumbering here below, and that they might see thee, not only with an eye of faith, but that they might see thee with their bodily eyes, or that they may rejoice with thee, with their whole human person, in body and in soul. O Lord, that thou thyself may give thy kingdom to come in the midst of the world in which we are dwelling. Thy footsteps can be heard upon the clouds of heaven, all about us in this world, ever the prophecies are being fulfilled more and more. Oh, give us young and old to behold it together, and that we may hasten for the sake of our lives, and that we may be given to enter in through that straight gate, and to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life and unto thy glory. Then it will be for the glory also of thy people. They have no glory in this world, for the world hath not known thee, and the world knoweth not them, and the world does despise them, and they must receive tribulation in this world, but they travel unto thee. Oh, give them then to despise all the afflictions and all the trials and all the afflictions, and that they might look further to the end of that hope of their calling, that thou may encourage them here below when thou art above, and that they might know that thou livest and that thou carest for them, and that they may have a longing to be with thee there that thou art. O bless thy word to that end in the midst of us as a congregation, that new ones also may be born in Zion, with a holy jealousy for the blessed portion that belongeth unto thy people, that they may be given a desire to know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. O Lord, that thou may look upon the children and the youth, for in our youth then we truly believe that we have a long time before us, but our life flies away, and soon it will be found that it was but a shadow, and that it was but in hand breadth. And then we also must go out of this life after a life of labor and sorrow, that we shall pass away. Oh, give in the days of youth consider the meaning of life, and that we are here with a purpose, and that we have a creator, and that we have to appear before our maker, and that we might know what our obligations are unto thee, and that we may be truly converted by thy Spirit. O work it in young and old, give fathers and mothers that diligence and faithfulness, but especially thy grace, that they may live before their children in a way of example, but also that we may instruct them in the things that are most necessary. Grandfathers and grandmothers, to stand before their children and grandchildren as a beacon of warning and admonition and love, to draw them to the things that are most necessary in this life, and to admonish, to seek the one thing that is needful, that thou would give us all together that concern for the need of our own souls and for the need of the souls of one another, that we could not let each other perish so easily. O Lord, work thou mightily with thy Spirit. Remember thy people. Wilt thou restore them again unto the joy of thy salvation? that they might be as a city upon an hill and as a candle upon a candlestick, giving light to all the house. Oh, that they may be an example to the congregation, and that there may be a walking in the midst of this world as one that is not of this world. Bless thy word unto that end, both public and private. Wilt thou give in earnest supplication in our secret chambers, children, parents, and grandparents alike? Wilt thou care for all those that have special needs, afflicted, sick, and weak ones, those that receive treatments for serious diseases, and all those that are under doctor's care? And wilt thou help doctors, nurses, and all those that are first responders? And wilt thou be a strength unto them and an encouragement and help? And that thou may supply for all those that help others in this world, over the length and breadth of this world where there is so much misery experienced because of our sin, in places where there is war, and that thou may give peace among the nations. But wilt thou also instruct us when these signs of the times are upon us and upon our children, and that thou may spare us as nations from such wars. But wilt thou also turn us again from our sin, for it does increase continually, and men are not ashamed anymore to allow their sin to come unto the open as Sodom. Oh, that we may be ashamed of our sin, that we would desire that it would be hidden. Oh, that we would desire that we'd be covered, that we'd be covered by the robe of thy righteousness, which thou hast merited for the sake of thy people. To cover them, and to that their nakedness and their shame would not appear, and that they may come righteous before the throne of God. Oh, turn us again then, Lord, and then we shall be turned. Save us, and we shall be saved. Help then our rulers and all that reign over us. Give wisdom and give men in thy favor, that they rule according to thy word. Help judges in the courts, that they might know that they must be judged, and that they may do righteousness here upon this world, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty, and that thou thyself may be judge, especially for those who are oppressed in the midst of this world, and there is no power, but in the hand of their oppressors there is power. O Lord, that thou may arise for each and every one of them, and that they might know that thou livest and that thou reignest in the heavenly height, and that thou wilt bring all men into thy judgment. Look upon us as a congregation in thy mercy. Wilt thou supply for our needs, each one in our place in the midst of this world that thou dost give unto us? Wilt thou give faithfulness and diligence? Give thy blessing upon the labors of our hands, prosperity, and that we may have that which we may give unto the poor and unto the causes of thee. Wilt thou for that give rain also upon the earth? For we can read it in thy word. Thy servant did say in the draught unto the king, rise up, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. O Lord, could it please thee then in this part of this province to give rain upon the earth, that the earth may drink it up, and that the crops may be permitted to grow, and that thou wouldest not deal with us according to our own sins? Other places there is too much rain. O Lord, thou art the governor, and thou art the provider for all things. Remember in thy mercy Be with us also in this afternoon. Help us to preach thy word. Lord, give us faithfulness, diligence, and the unction of thy spirit, strength for the labors. And may it be a blessing in the midst of our flock. Out of thy own heavenly store, thou art able to give it out. The storehouses of the greater Joseph are so full. Oh, that thou may grant us a little token, and that thou knowest of us in this afternoon, and that thy people may see thy countenance, and that they might hear thy voice. For that is sweet and comely. Oh, that thou may help us then, and be in the midst of us as one that serveth undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 444, stanzas 2, 5, and 8. Oh, bless the Lord, who all thy need supplieth. Thy soul with good he fully satisfieth, and like the eagles he renews thy youth. 444, stanzas 2, 5, and 8. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you once again, John chapter 17, and this time the 11th verse, John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. So far the words of our text. Christ's continuing care for his people made evident in his prayer for them. First, for whom he prays. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Second, why he prays. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Third, for what he prays. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Christ's continuing care for his people made evident in his prayer for them. First, for whom he prays. Second, why he prays. And third, for what he prays. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. These are they for whom we read he prays, those given to him by his Father. Thus the commission of Christ, when he was sent by his Father into this world, is not for everyone in the world. It is only for part of the world. Is that also for you? That is for the elect. Those who have been chosen, we read here, by the Father. That is, in his sovereignty as a king. Does he have a right to choose? If a potter has a right, Paul says, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor, then how much more does the Lord have a right, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Reprobation and punishment are not the same thing. They are very closely connected. But reprobation is the work of the Father. Election and reprobation. Not just election, also reprobation, the work of the Father. Punishment is the consequence of sin. Thus God is just. There is no man that will ever be punished who is innocent. To be punished by the Lord, every man will have deserved his punishment. Those whom thou hast given me. Thus the church is a gift. It is a gift of the Father unto the Son. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They are given to Christ by purchase. It was not a free gift. No, Christ had to pay for that gift. Paul says, ye are bought with a price. Thus, he had to pay a high price. What was that price? Well, first, he had to become incarnate. Well, that is not in itself a humiliation. But he had to become incarnate, and at the same time, in a way that appeared as if he was a guilty man. That is under the consequences of sin. Thus he looked to the whole world, just as if he was one of us, as a guilty person, also a sick man sometimes, or boy, children. And when we would see one in the prison, even if he is innocent, then when we pass by, we think, well, that is a guilty man. It is not always true. Neither was it true of the Lord Jesus. But that is the way that he had to appear when he came into this world, when he placed himself under the law. What a price. Are you innocent? If you are innocent of a crime, of an evil thing, and everyone looks at you and says that you are guilty, that is a great humiliation. So that was for the Lord Jesus. He had not only to endure that humiliation, but he had, in fact, to suffer, and he had to die, and he had to give his own life. Thus, it was not a free gift for him that he just received that church. But he had to pay a high price. And when he had paid that price, then we read that the Father, he gave that church unto him, those whom thou hast given me. The salvation, that does not begin with God's people. They are given unto Christ. When are they given unto Christ? Or they are given unto Christ already in eternity. They were thine. That's where their names in eternity were written in that book of God. Thus, it does not begin with them. Conversion is a fruit of covenanting. The salvation of God's people is very, very sure. It has a ground. It has a foundation in the covenant of God. Those whom thou hast given me, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. It was out of love for this people that Christ was willing to humble himself. It was out of love for this people that Christ was willing to leave the place of his glory and give himself even unto death, though they had sinned against him, though they had sinned against his Father. And now in his high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus, he reveals to man his tender care over his own people. When he is laying that people before the face of his Father with all of their needs, Christ has merited a special care for his church. God cares for the whole world. He cares for all the creatures of the world. He cares also for the animals of the world. Did you ever read that in the Bible, boys and girls? What the Lord commands us about the animals? That we have to be careful that we do not abuse even an animal. Thus the Lord, he cares for all his creatures, also the reprobate, to make the rain come down and the sun to shine, to give them food and drink. The Lord cares for all his creation, even after the fall. But the Lord Jesus has merited a special care for his own church. Thus, the church, we say, that is like a cork. That is, the cork upon which the whole world is floating. And as soon as the welfare of that church here below has been completed, all of those people have been brought in, then it is not necessary for that world to exist anymore. Thus, the whole world that exists just like scaffolding that is put around a building, and when that building is then complete, that scaffolding is taken down and that scaffolding is burned. Those whom thou hast given me. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why we ought to covet the supplications of God's true people. And what man is more righteous than Christ? Holy Father, he says. Thus, it is not only his righteousness, but there is also a certain relation that we read about here when he prays. There is a difference, children. If you would request something from your father, or if the neighbor boy or girl would come and ask your father for something, what is the difference? You say, well, that is my father. That is not his father. That is right. Thus, Christ, in his righteousness, he has a right to demand from his father. But Christ, as the Son, also has a relation to his father. So you see how that the supplications, the intercessions of Christ, they are so certainly to be answered. Thus the church, they have pillars upon which faith may rest, when they may believe that they may receive from the Lord all of their needs. Holy Father, that supports faith in those whom thou hast given me, all the while that faith is necessary. How long is that necessary? That we see in our second thought, why he prays, and now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. That is why he prays, especially this prayer, and especially at this time, because he says that he is leaving this world. I had an uncle many years ago when I was young, who suddenly passed away of a heart attack, and left behind a handicapped wife and several handicapped children. And a few years later, then his wife herself lay on a deathbed. What cares can be in the life of a person when they have to depart out of this world? The Lord says by Jeremiah, leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. There is a different time that is approaching these disciples of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because that sensible presence of Christ is now going to be removed from them. The Lord Jesus says, while I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. What a blessed time for these disciples. Time when they may see his countenance. A time when they may hear his voice. Then you can read that. And they have gone to the Lord Jesus when they had questions about this, questions about that. But now he says, I come to thee. What a great change is now going to take place in the life of these disciples. Does Christ then forsake his disciples? No, he does not. David says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. They forsake us. Why? Because we read, the dead know not anything. That does not mean that their soul does no longer live, that they have no more thought and will and affection. No. But it means that they are now separated from all the cares and the things that are taking place in this world. The dead know not anything. Is that now the same with the Lord Jesus? Certainly not. He himself said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How is that, boys and girls? How can he say, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? And at the same time, he says that I come to thee, that I am no more in the world. I think you know. You say the Lord Jesus had a human nature, and the Lord Jesus has a divine nature. And with his human nature, he is no longer with us. But with his divine nature, with his majesty, Godhead, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from his church. No, he does not forsake his people. And yet, it becomes very different for the disciples. Those disciples are not able to go to him in that same manner as they have gone to him before. Thus, the communion that they may have changes. It is no longer with their physical mouth. It is no longer with their physical eyes, with their physical ears, no. But it is now a spiritual communion. It is their soul by which they are drawing near unto him. Then the disciples need to learn to live by faith and not by sight. Thus, there is a certain growth that is required of these disciples, a spiritual growth, just like when you grow up, children, when your little brother or sister is just an infant, but then they become a toddler and they become a child and you become a youth, and then you grow up. And when your little brother and sister, they are at home and your mother leaves the home, then they cry. They cry. Why? Because they cannot see mother. They need to see with their eyes. Otherwise, they are afraid. Are you afraid when your mother leaves? You say, no, I'm not afraid. Why are you not afraid? Because You say, I hope she will come back again. That's right. You don't need to see it with your eyes, but you believe it. So you have grown up, haven't you? That was now the growth that was necessary and is necessary for God's children. It was necessary also for the disciples of the Lord. It is not a healthy sign. In natural life, it is not a healthy sign in spiritual life when there is no growth. The Lord gives a child legs. But there comes a time that the Lord says, now that child must begin to use those legs. He must learn how to put weight on those legs. He must begin to walk. Does then the Lord forsake his people? Oh, no. But the Lord does not only give faith, he does not only plant faith, but he gives the exercise of faith. He brings them to use that faith. The Lord Jesus, he said that ye must be born again. And now a born again soul that is cradled in the arms of the Lord. And when he begins to cry, then the Lord is feeding that soul. Blessed life. The Lord Jesus, he was so very near unto his disciples. And so it is with that people. And when they are given that new life, then the Lord is so very near to them. Do they have much knowledge? Can you ask your little brother questions, children? You say, cannot ask them. You cannot. They cannot answer me. They don't have much knowledge. And yet there is love. Yet there is affection that is coming from them. And it is felt by them. Oh, God's people, they cannot explain anything. We're not born talking, young people. Will you remember that? Will you remember that your whole life? That we are not born talking? That is so important. Because that is something that is happening in the days in which we live. Then we see and we feel that there is no real birth. The Lord is near. The Lord is feeding his own children. There is love, there is affection, there is little knowledge. The Lord is giving them to cleave. They cleave to him, and the Lord is feeding, the Lord is instructing them. When they feel the Lord is hiding his face from them, then they are crying, and oh, soon the Lord is coming again. In those days, and then that house of God, oh, so often, then they may receive something for their heart when they are sitting in that house of God. Can they explain that all? They cannot explain it. Do they understand it? They do not understand. They are like that little Samuel. The Lord, he is calling so tenderly, Samuel. Samuel. Oh, they hear it, the tender voice of the Lord. But what do we read? The word of the Lord that was not yet revealed unto him. Oh, it is a blessed life. It is in a certain way such a carefree life. The disciples experienced that. 3 years. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. But he says, now I come to thee, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. changes in the life of his people. The Lord withdraws himself. Why? Is it because of their sin? Not always. Very often it may be, but it is not always because of their sin. But the Lord, he must give his people to grow. That is why the Lord is withdrawing, because they are not just a little infant anymore. If those disciples, they may now go with the Lord, then they can continue to see him. Oh, what will that be? When they will again see him with their eyes. But it is not so. But these are in the world. They remain in the world a little while. And in the world, they must learn to live by faith. And faith is not sight. Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. Evidence. What is evidence? Say somebody brings evidence when they have seen it. They're a witness. But faith is evidence of things that are not seen. While they are yet in the world, then those disciples must now begin to rely completely on the word of the Lord which he has spoken. Thus, faith, what does faith do? Faith credits the word. Faith believes the word as true, even though it cannot see the fulfillment yet of that word, as long as it is in the world. Is that an easy thing to do? It is not. Faith, we read in God's word, is a gift of God. It is a gift in its being. It is a gift in its exercise. Does Christ know that? Sure, he knows that. That is just why he prayed unto his Father for those whom he had given them. And what did he pray for? That we consider after we sing. Psalter 87, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah, from his throne on high, looks down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below. And he that fashioned heart and mind looks ever down on all mankind, the works of men to know. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 87. Thank you. now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Thus our third thought, what he prays for, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Holy Father, wilt thou keep and wilt thou take care of my flock when I am gone from them in my bodily presence. Providence, that is especially the work not of the Son, but it is the work of the Father. Thus Christ, he lays all the cares and all the needs of his church, of his people, from this time forth unto the end of the world. And he sees, as it were, that whole church before him, those whom the Father has given unto him, whom the Father also has such an interest in, for whom he has paid a great price. And he is asking that the Father would now keep his own children. There is no care like the care of his Father. And that church needs to be kept. It needs to be kept in the world. It needs to be kept from the world, while they are not yet taken, as he says, out of the world. Then he says, wilt thou keep them from the evil? Can they keep themselves from the evil? They cannot. Why not? Because the evil of the world lives in their hearts. Paul called it their flesh. How then can they keep themselves? But the church, they are themselves a means by which the Lord will keep his own people. What does he say? That they may be one as we are. Thus, God's people need each other. And they will need each other. They will need each other more and more as this world comes to an end, and as the enmity of the world is more and more coming up against that true church of God, that they may be one. What did Joseph say to his brethren? When he had revealed himself to them and they were going to go back unto their father, then he said to them, and see that ye fall not out by the way. Then he did not want them arguing with one another. Oh, this is your fault that we have done, and that is your fault. But no, he says, see that ye fall not out by the way. When I am not with you there, when you go back unto my Father, what is the wish of every parent on their dying bed? Then they will say to their children, love one another. Is that not what the Lord Jesus said when he was going to leave this world? Then he said to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, so ought ye to love one another. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Thus he prays for the unity of the church, that they may be one. And what is the basis of that unity of the church? Because he speaks about that also. He says, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Thus the visible church, that is united around his word, the words which thou hast given me and that I have given them. That word, he says, they have received that word. And it is that word that binds my church together, not the world, because the world has not received my word, but them which thou hast given me. Thus, in the visible church, all dissensions and all disagreements must be dissolved through his word. Because that is now what is binding that church together, he says, that they may be one. All are to bow under my word. Oh, you say there are many different interpretations of that word. That is true. That is why there are so many different denominations in this world. And that shows to us the importance of our doctrinal standards, because they are giving the interpretation of the visible church of the word around which that visible church is agreeing, gathering. Oh, how important is doctrine. How important is the preservation of doctrine, because when that doctrine is not preserved, the very thing that binds the visible church together is lost. And then that church is not bound together anymore. Christ was not one with the doctrine of the Pharisees, with the doctrine of the scribes of his day. Why not? Well, they had taken that word that the Lord had given to them long, many years ago, and they had let that truth fall in the streets. Oh, how that church needs to be kept. Young people, do you pay attention? Children, do you pay attention to your father, to your mother, when they teach you out of the word of God, the doctrine? And in school, your teacher, you say, I like to go out on the playground. Wait a moment. There is something more important. We like you to play, yes, but do you listen to your teacher when they teach you out of the Bible, young people? It is so, so important that we are informed, that we are instructed, and that we know our own doctrine. Truth, young people, is not relative, as they will tell you in the universities and the colleges, that it just depends on who you are, what truth is. No, there is one Lord, Paul says. There is one God. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of us all. It is not relative. That is why he says, let us therefore follow the things that make for peace and the things wherewith we may edify, that we may edify, that we may instruct one another in that church, that they may be as one, that they may be one as we are. That is, he's speaking, Christ is speaking to his Father. He says, we are one. I have given them thy word. I have given them the words which thou hast given unto me. It says, we are one in that word. I have not given to them anything but thy own word. And that oneness Christ experiences with his own Father and the Holy Spirit in that blessed Trinity. A blessed peace. No dissension in that Trinity. A perfect agreement in that word. What does he desire? He desires that for his church. He desires that for his own people. Thus, He prays to his Father for this, for them, as he is departing out of this world. He is well acquainted with the blessedness of that oneness. There is much in the visible church that prevents such a oneness. Why? Because that visible church is only gathered around that word in an external way. And then everyone is gathered around that word in that visible church as a profession of religion. But that oneness is much closer in that church for whom he is actually praying. That is not merely the visible church, but it is his invisible church. Why? Because they have an internal agreement with that word. There is a fellowship with that word in the experience of their own soul. That is why we say that people, they speak one language. It is the language of Canaan. It is a language which they understand one of another. They are one. They are one in what? Oh, we can go on and on about this, but in two main things. Oh, they are one in the acknowledgement of their guilt. They are one in the acknowledgement of their sin, of their unworthiness. They are one with Job. What did Job say? He said, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and in ashes, and that you are going to find in every single one of that true church, whatever things that they might disagree about in this world, or in this, they are one. That is something that binds them together. And then in short, oh, they are one in the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they are one in their missing of him, just like those Emmaus travelers. We read in the Bible they had one burning heart. Do all of those people, do they all learn that all together at the same time? No. Do they all learn those things in the same degree? No. But there is still one faith. Daughters of Jerusalem could speak unto the bride. They could have communion with that bride. They did not know what that bride knew. But then they said to her, they asked after that bridegroom. It was not their beloved, but she had spoken of him. And their heart was drawn also to that beloved. Whither is thy beloved gone? They said, that we may seek him with thee. One faith. Oh, that one faith is binding that church from all the four corners of the world. It will be just the same truth, Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. One faith. And I've given them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them. There you have the distinction between that people and the world, and not the world only, but when they have received them in an outward way, then we are part of the visible church. But when our heart may receive them, and they have received them, oh, then they are one. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That is the desire. That is the supplication of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise that of his Father as he is departing out of this world in his human nature, evidence of that continuing care that he has for his church. It has never ceased. From heaven, there he is caring for his church. Oh, are we ever made one now? Oh, we are one, yes. We are one as a visible church. Oh, we are one around a doctrine. Has that doctrine ever come into our heart? May we ever abhor ourselves. Or are we one with that true church in the blessed estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ? That he is altogether lovely. That he is the chiefest among 10,000. The bride, she said, I am black but comely as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Oh, that is the church of God. That is that blessed oneness that the Lord Jesus has prayed unto his Father for. And now it is this people who shall be kept by the supplication of Christ unto his own Father. And soon they will be gathered. Oh, they will be gathered all together on the right hand of him. And then they will sing all together one song. They will sing it in unison, the song of Moses and the Lamb. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us to be one indeed, not only with doctrine in an outward way, but may it be with thy doctrine and thy truth in our hearts. Oh, show to us our wretchedness. Show to us the beauty of thy dear and only begotten Son. Give us the word in which thou hast received from thy Father, that we may receive it also with our children in our own hearts. Dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all of our many sins, blessing thy word, and that we may go home with meditations thereof, which may become sweet unto our souls. Keep us from sin, from a sudden and an unprepared death. Help us in the week to come with all the labors of our hands in the home and by the way. And wilt thou remember all the needy. Build thy church for Jesus' sake. Amen. 371 stanzas 1 and 2. Behold how pleasant and how good that we, one Lord confessing, together dwell in brotherhood, our unity expressing. And what follows in both stanzas of Psalter 371. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.